I was brought up in a large family with what my brothers and sisters and I like to refer to as free-range parenting. We enjoyed playing in the sandbox, making forts, and having loads of free time to waste as we saw fit. We loved it, and I thought that's how parenting was everywhere. So imagine my surprise when my first child was 18 months old, just learning how to climb up on the counter to get himself a drink of water, when my friend, who was from back east, asked me what classes I was going to put him in. Classes? What do you mean, classes? She explained that her child, also 18 months old, was in a gymboree class, an art class, a dinosaur class, and swimming lessons. That sounded really exhausting and kind of expensive. My plan was to take Jackson to the library once a week for story time and to the park every day so he could play outside, since we lived in an apartment and didn't have a yard. I also had lots of crayons and paper in case he felt like doing any art. He very rarely did, but my girls loved to do art projects and frequently got into the art supplies when they were little. I remember one beautiful picture Evelyn made of bumblebees. She was fascinated by insects and would watch them outside and learn about them in books. Her picture of bumblebees showed them sipping nectar from flowers with a long straw that scientists call a proboscis. I loved that she was depicting what she saw, and I thought that maybe she was destined to become a nature artist. Both girls fancied themselves great artists, right up until they got to school, and somehow they ingested the message that they weren't good at art. Yogi also swallowed this idea that he wasn't good at art. In first grade, his teacher told me of several meltdowns he had when asked to draw pictures to illustrate his stories. This year, he hasn't had to draw pictures in class, but he does have illustrations as part of his homework, and I have discovered the magic tool for helping kids feel confident in their drawing. Shapes. Hello, I'm your host, Miriam Brown. In addition to my teaching certificate, I have a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's in curriculum and instruction. I spent the last decade as a public school teacher, and I want to give you insider tips on how to help your child do well in a system that might otherwise fail them. Today, let's focus on learning shapes. Guess what, guys? This is my last episode about academic skills for this season of A Parent's Guide to Public School. If you teach your kid 8 colors, 20 numbers, 26 letters and sounds, and 5 basic shapes, their brains will be full of everything they need to know to do well in kindergarten. That's less than 60 things. If you start when they're about 2 and work on it a little bit each day, you'll have over 1,000 days to practice those 60 little things. With that much practice, they will easily master all of those concepts by the time they go to school. It's all about just doing a little bit each day with habits, story time, conversations, games, and activities. No workbooks necessary. It's fun. Now let's dive into learning about shapes. Understanding shapes is a basic math skill that will help them in school when they need to learn geometry. However, kids can start learning the names of shapes pretty early. Here's a recording of June, who is 2, talking about the shapes on a coloring page I printed out.
Square, yes.
Triangle. Square.
Oval.
Oval. Ball.
Yeah, the ball is a circle, huh? And what's this one? Rectangle.
Rectangle.
Yeah, that's so good. You're good at shapes. Oval.
Oval.
Circle.
Circle.
Triangle. Rectangle.
Rectangle.
Triangle.
Triangle.
Square.
Pillows.
Square.
Pillows.
Pillows are squares, aren't they?
You can tell she already has a pretty good grasp of the shape names. She could even place shaped blocks on the matching shape on the page. Then, as the kids get older, you can talk to them about the characteristics of a shape. What questions could you ask them? You might say something like, what makes an oval different from a circle? Or, how many angles or corners does each shape have? Eventually, by second grade, they'll teach them the word vertices, which are just the corners of each shape. So how do you teach them? Let's review what we've already learned about teaching. Number one, repetition. The more you repeat stuff, the more they learn. Use small amounts of time while driving in the car, waiting in line, or cooking dinner to play guessing games or have conversations about shapes. We've also learned about how using different senses and using lots of movement can help kids to remember what they learn. You can sing songs for the sound parts of their brain. You can bake cookies for taste and smell. You can play with sorting bins or Play-Doh for touch, and read books for sight. You can add movement by trying to make the shapes with your body or have a shape scavenger hunt. Finding shapes in everyday objects around us helps kids learn to perceive things more closely, and it might even help them become better artists. Sometimes I worry about how art is affecting kids at school. A lot of new teaching methods use art to try to engage those kids who might be interested in drawing, but not in writing text. And it's multisensory, right? Incorporating art starts early, but even in high school, my kids lament that their history projects are mostly posters, and even their science teachers are requiring them to draw nice pictures on their notes in a new strategy called sketch notes. These ideas are fun and inclusive, but it can really stress some kids out. Art anxiety is a real thing. I had hoped that doing art projects at home would help my kids avoid this art anxiety that I also experienced, but it seems like school sort of crushed their love of expressing themselves through drawing and painting. According to my kids, pretty early on, you're shuffled into either a good at art category or a suck at art category by your peers. All my kids, even the ones I didn't give birth to, somehow landed in the I'm not good at art category. Maybe my friend from back east was onto something, and I should have put them in baby art classes. All of them struggle with art projects in school. In fact, last year, Yogi's class was making shrinky-dink keychains for Mother's Day. He really wanted his to be nice, so he paid another classmate who was good at art to draw and color his keychain. It was just a simple red heart on a blue background. It was pretty sweet of him to commission artwork because he wanted it to be nice for me, but I'm a little sad that he didn't think his own art was good enough. This year, he's been learning about not worrying so much about things being perfect. His teacher hasn't required as much art, but some of his homework pages have asked him to draw what the reading passage is about. The first one he saw, he broke down and cried. I reminded him that it didn't have to be good, it just had to be done. But he didn't even know how to get started. The story he was reading was about a fox, so I Googled how to draw a fox, and I found this fabulous YouTube series by Okie Doke Kids called Drawing Shapes for Kids. It teaches them how to draw things using simple shapes. It taught Yogi to start drawing a fox by making a triangle with the point down for the head. Then put two smaller triangles on top for the ears and circles for the eyes. The video helped him see how to get started. Eventually, with more practice, copying the easy art in these videos and making art from shapes, they might even start to see shapes in the world around them so that they can be more confident in their art ability. In fact, a scientific article in the journal Nature called Shape Perception Accuracy and Drawing Ability by professors from the University of Oregon found that the ability to see shapes predicted a person's realistic drawing ability. That probably seems obvious to those of you who studied art, but for those of us who avoided art as much as possible, it might not be that intuitive. Anyway, I really recommend watching these Okie Doke Kids videos with your children and trying out the little drawing projects. They're cute and fun. And even if your kids don't become avid artists, it might help them relieve some of the anxiety of doing projects at school. And helping our kids become confident learners is our goal. So, learning shapes will eventually help your children learn important math concepts and can even help them be confident artists. So now we have finished the first half of the season one on academics. That's it. Numbers, letters, shapes, and colors. But we still have a way to go. The rest of the episodes we'll talk about the social skills that will help your child continue their learning at school. But for now, it's time to put down your phone and go play with your kids.